Welcome to Greater LA, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Giotakis. Here's a question for you. When's the last time you took a trip? Boarded an airplane? Stayed in a hotel? Chances are it's been a while. This pandemic has had a crushing effect on the tourism industry here in Southern California and around the world. Today, we're going to look more closely at the hotels of Greater LA. We're going to hear from hotel workers, and we'll hear about the successes and failures of Project Roomkey, the program to pay struggling hotels to house the homeless. But first, we just want to find out how the hotels are doing. The industry called leisure and hospitality is a huge economic driver in Greater LA. It employs a lot of folks you probably know. And of course, a lot of those jobs have gone away. Some of those jobs may never come back after this pandemic. The LA Times reports that one in four hotels is struggling to pay their mortgage and is at risk of foreclosure. Adam Burke is president and CEO of the LA Tourism and Convention Board, and Heather Roseman is executive director of the Hotel Association of Los Angeles. Welcome to you both.
Thanks so much, Steve. It's great to be on.
Good morning.
Heather, I want to start with you. First of all, how many hotels does the greater Los Angeles area have?
The greater Los Angeles area has a combination of hotels, motels, and bed and breakfasts, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1,200.
And did they all have to close those hotels when everything shut down? I'm thinking back in middle March when LA did the stay-at-home orders. Or did some hotels manage to stay open because business was still happening, right?
The hotel industry was deemed an essential business at the beginning of the pandemic. We were working to service a couple of government projects, starting with the state of California, looking for rooms to have passengers that were disembarking from cruise ships quarantine for 14 days. From there, we started working with the LA County to find rooms for COVID isolation, as well as what then evolved into Project Roomkey.
So that's something that we're going to talk about in a few moments here on this program. Are you starting to see some of those hotels reopen again? Are people venturing out or more tourists coming back to LA? I mean, what kind of numbers are you seeing there?
During the outset of the pandemic, hotels did suspend operations in many cases, not knowing exactly whether or not they were allowed to be open. As of last week, we still have 38 hotels that are closed, and we're not sure if those are going to be a temporary or permanent closure. But during the pandemic, 157 hotels did shut down initially. We are starting to see some of that leisure travel return to the market, but as we see the occupancy rates rise, we have to consider that many hotels are still operating at a very limited crew as the bookings are still only at about 50% maximum.
Adam, occupancy rate obviously is an important number. You just heard Heather say 50%. What's the occupancy rate typically in LA?
Well, first of all, I'd like to reiterate what Heather said, which is, you know, this has really been devastating for our industry. What a lot of your listeners may not realize, Steve, is prior to the pandemic, our leisure and hospitality sector was actually the third largest employer in Los Angeles County, representing about one out of every 8.5 jobs across the county. So while we've seen job loss of about one out of every 3 jobs in leisure and hospitality, that's been even more dramatic for the hotels. Prior to the pandemic, though, to your question, we were seeing average occupancies in the city about 83%. And, you know, fortunately, we've started to see some gradual recovery, but that had declined to as low as about 20%, with a lot of hotels actually sitting in the single digits. Right now, we're seeing occupancies that are in the 40% range. And that really, to your point, is being fueled by locals. It's really Angelenos starting to safely and responsibly get out and take staycations right here in their own backyard.
Well, I want to talk about that because one of the things that you guys have been doing, I know, is pushing more Angelenos to go out and stay in local hotels if you're able to. How do you suppose to, I mean, is there a conflict with you guys when you say, well, we want you to go stay at a hotel, but there is this pandemic still happening?
Yeah, it's a great question. So first of all, I will say, We've actually been working with the Los Angeles Department of County Health to develop safety protocols for all the various sectors of our industry so that we can make sure that we are protecting our guests, we're protecting our employees, equally important. So the idea of pushing people to get out and about, probably I would say it a little bit differently, which is what we've done is we've put together a program called LA Love, which is really by Angelenos for Angelenos. So we've put together over 100 special offers, including not just hotels, but our local attractions and restaurants, so that for people who are comfortable getting out and about, it's more affordable and easier to do. And, you know, when people ask, what can I do? We know, for example, that if those who have the means had just 3 visits to a local attraction or museum, supported 3 of our local restaurants, and had just 1 3-night stay in an area hotel, that would actually help us recover over 21,000 jobs in LA County, and it would inject about $1.4 billion back into our local business community.
Heather, how safe are hotels to go to? I mean, obviously it varies from hotel to hotel, right?
I would say hotels are one of the safest businesses operating right now. As I mentioned, as an essential business, we had to develop and adopt clean and safe programs to ensure that our guests and employees were safe during the pandemic. And as the wildfires and heat and electricity outages have been taking place, we've been taking in some of those evacuees. I myself had to evacuate to a hotel. They had an air purifier, they had free masks, they had hand sanitizer, and they had temperature checks at the entrance to the building to ensure that everyone coming in was healthy enough to be in a public space. The California Hotel Lodging Association worked with the state of California very early on and with the various brands and a couple of different product companies like Lysol and Clorox to develop new programs. And all of those have been distributed to the hotel community in Los Angeles.
Adam, is LA tourism going to rebound, do you think? Looking long term, are people going to be squeamish about getting on an airplane or coming to LA or going to Disneyland that's not even open right now? I mean, at some point, it's got to recover, right?
Absolutely. I think that this is certainly going to be a longer recovery than we've seen, but we're already beginning to see some of the beginnings of that recovery. So yes, we're still very optimistic about the long-term future for Los Angeles. I think part of that is based on the fact that because LA has the 5th largest economy in the world, and is so incredibly diversified, we've looked historically, and it has always been one of the first markets to rebound across a variety of sectors. The other part of it is you have to remember that prior to the pandemic, Los Angeles had enjoyed 9 straight years of record visitation. While certainly there's still a heavy lift in the short term, we're still very optimistic that LA is going to remain one of the premier destinations worldwide.
And yet, Heather Roseman, the pandemic has really done a number on hotels. We're seeing today that the Beverly Hills Lux Rodeo Drive Hotel is shutting down for good. Are we going to see a lot of that?
I think it remains to be seen exactly how bad this pandemic will devastate our industry, but 38 hotels in Los Angeles are still closed as of today, and that's a huge loss for the city of Los Angeles when they're not able to collect transient occupancy tax for the city. I mean, this is a big loss, not just for our industry, but for the city at large.
And do you see, I mean, more hotels closing for good? You're quoted in the LA Times saying that 1 in 4 are actually struggling to pay a mortgage.
Yes, 1 in 4 hotels are going to miss their mortgage payments, according to industry data. And we see that as potentially a tipping point for the industry to return.
Interesting times, obviously a time of anxiety and really not knowing what's going to happen next. I want to thank you both, Heather Roseman, Executive Director of the Hotel Association of Los Angeles, and Adam Burke, President and CEO for the LA Tourism and Convention Board. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks so much for having us, Steve.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW Donation Car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Well, we're talking about how hotels are faring in this pandemic today on Greater LA. It's KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. In LA County, hotels had to close to all non-essential guests back in March. But in June, they reopened fully, meaning you could take advantage of a room and maybe a few days by the pool. Remember Leisure Time? And while that might be an economic generator for hotels and the city, thousands of Angelenos work inside those hotels. And they face a lot of the same risks that other frontline workers are seeing during this pandemic. KCRW's Danielle Chiriguayo spent the last few months talking with hotel workers all across the city, and she's with us right now. Hey, Danielle.
Hey there, Steve.
So first of all, how are the workers doing? I mean, I imagine some are just glad to be able to work, right?
They really are glad to have jobs, but a lot of these workers, they're hurting. And because of the pandemic, a lot actually aren't working at all. Among unionized members, about 90% of hotel workers are out of a job. And that's according to Unite Here Local 11, the local hospitality union. As for those who are working, these frontline workers, like waiters, home health aides, nurses, many are feeling like they're risking their lives in order to do their jobs. I talked with one room attendant, and her name is Carmen Vega. She's a 36-year veteran of the hotel industry, and she works over at the Westin Bonaventure in downtown L.A. She says the work nowadays is tough, and part of that is due to this constant fear that the rooms she's cleaning are dirty. She says that everyone she works with is constantly stressing over whether they've been infected with the coronavirus. And Steve, in addition to the usual risks of COVID, Carmen's actually a cancer survivor, and she's afraid that if she does get sick, that the virus is just going to wreak havoc on her body.
Yeah, she's got an underlying condition, as it were. Are there workers, Danny, who have caught COVID?
So, Steve, since the start of the pandemic, more than 100 workers have reported that they're COVID positive. That's according to Kurt Peterson. He's the co-president of Local 11. But really, that's only the reported numbers, folks who have come forward saying that they have the virus. There's this real fear among hotel workers about disclosing any kind of sickness, whether that's COVID-related or not. For many of them, this job is their only source of income, and if workers were to get sick or were forced to quarantine, they might be out of a paycheck or even worse, lose their jobs. Here's Carmen again. She says if it were up to her or she was faced with different circumstances, she wouldn't be working right now. What matters most to her right now is her health and her life. But now she's caught between life and death and need. She's the only person in her family that's working during this pandemic. Carmen does have two sons, but one's in school, and the other, who could probably help support the family financially, isn't actually working right now because he's at home, like many people across the country, with his kids doing virtual learning.
Danny, it sounds like such a tricky situation because if someone's sick and they're not, you know, saying that they have this disease and they go to work, they could give it to other people. That's one part of the equation. Carmen says, you know, she wouldn't know what to do even if she got sick and wouldn't be able to get that paycheck. So I can't even imagine the risks there. But she really sounds like she feels like she's risking her health by working there at the Bonaventure. But the hotels do have protections, right? Like mask requirements, things like that, social distancing.
Honestly, Steve, most frontline workers, including those in hotels, they don't have that much more protection than you or I. Workers have masks, they have gloves, some have access to face shields. But that access to protective equipment wasn't always the case. I actually talked to one room attendant at the Westin in Long Beach who told me that her employer didn't provide enough PPE during the early days of the pandemic. She did say, though, someone she worked with eventually stepped up and offered to sew masks for her coworkers. And actually, on that topic of safety, Local 11 actually surveyed more than 2,200 of its members, asking how they felt about hotels reopening. And get this, 83% of them said they were worried their employers would try to cut corners and essentially risk their health.
So not a whole lot of trust there.
Right. And by the way, all that deep cleaning that goes on inside of the hotels, it's these workers who are the ones that are responsible for keeping rooms and public spaces sanitized. Every room attendant that I talked to said they were dealing with double the work now than before the pandemic.
So, Danny, even with these safety measures and the, you know, the protective equipment in place, the workers are really depending on the guests to follow the rules, right? To wear the masks and to stay physically distant and things like that.
Right. That's become a really big concern for hotel workers because, you know, the customer is always right.
Yeah.
But what do you do if a hotel guest approaches you without a mask on? That's been creating a lot of stress and anxiety for workers like Sarah. She's a front desk attendant at a hotel in West LA. I'm not going to share her last name or her hotel because she's quite frankly afraid of losing her job for talking to us about her work conditions. At her hotel, she's in contact with guests daily, and nowadays her job description has gotten a bit longer. She's checking guest temperatures and has to monitor mask wear on site.
You know, I want to make sure that I'm safe and people are safe, but you know, there's people out at the pool who's they're not wearing a mask, and it makes you wonder, you know, the pool is maybe 10 feet away and our doors are open. They're talking and laughing. Is there a breeze coming in and there's particles? Like it's kind of that mystery, you know, really unknown, that it's kind of like the Twilight Zone. You don't really know or see it, but there's a danger there and you're kind of wondering.
It sounds like, yeah, it sounds really anxious for Sarah, and like wearing a mask might be a bit of an issue for the guests. And so, you know, I can imagine what's going on there.
Absolutely. Her time at the hotel over the last few months is really similar to what a lot of frontline workers right now are experiencing. She's essentially become a mask cop.
Is it my place to remind them about masks? Am I, you know, I tell them wear a mask and they say, yeah, sure, sure. And then they come back and they're not wearing it. And, you know, what's my place? I don't know. And but now as time gone on and we have more knowledge, it's kind of this frustration of like, put your damn mask on.
Yeah. So now that more folks are starting to visit hotels again, I asked Sarah what she would like to say to those people.
You want to go to a hotel to get away from your house. So you're coming into my house. Don't put me at risk. If you want to come out and come into my house where I need to be mindful and be respectful, and be respectful of the people who are there. Because just like you who may be working at home, we don't have that liberty to work from home.
Yeah, there are a lot of folks who are not working from home, who are on site and have to worry about all of these things. KCRW's Danielle Chiriguayo reporting for us. Danielle, thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis, and we've been talking about the impact of the pandemic on LA's hotels on the show today. And while some hotel rooms sit empty, tens of thousands of people live on the streets of Los Angeles, no shelter at all. At the beginning of the pandemic, city and county leaders planned to solve two problems at once. They wanted to house 15,000 homeless people in hotel and motel rooms. But months later, Project Room Key is winding down after reaching less than a third of its goal. So what happened? KCRW reporter Anna Scott joins me now to talk about it. Hey, Anna.
Hey, Steve.
All right, Project Room Key. Where does this program stand right now?
So at its peak, they housed about 4,000 people through Project Room Key. Like you just said, they wanted to do 15,000, so that's less than a third of what they had aimed for. And now they're starting to wind it down. One location has closed so far, and they expect to close down the others between now and February.
Why do you think, Anna, it's fallen so short of its goal? I mean, that number is really low.
Well, there are a lot of reasons. One is if you go back all the way to the beginning to the number that they set of 15,000 people, that was always a really ambitious goal. At the time, county officials even referred to it as a stretch goal, but it was based on their estimate of the need, and it's the goal they set. So it's a fair metric to judge them by. You know, as they started to get this program underway and city and county officials reached out to hotel owners to negotiate, they ran into a number of obstacles. There were property owners who simply didn't want to participate, who didn't want to turn their properties into transitional housing. Others were unable to participate because of their insurance companies or their lenders who wouldn't allow for the change of use. Others were eliminated because they still had regular guests coming in, or they had residents in some cases. and Project Room Key required the entire property in order to work. Those are just a few of the challenges that I've learned about between a recent city report and speaking with county officials and a hotel industry spokesperson as well. And there was another challenge too, which is Project Room Key was never just about sticking people in rooms. They've also been providing meals, security, and they brought in nonprofits at these hotel sites to provide social services. So as the program expanded, it was just hard to keep finding organizations to staff it. One of the people I talked to is Heidi Marston. She's the head of LASA, or the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority.
We are definitely feeling the pressure of like, who else can we tap to run these sites? And so it did slow down a bit. So I think that the county and the city kind of took their foot off the gas around just actively pursuing new sites because of that.
All right. So here they are. They're in the process of ending or winding down, as you say, Project Room Key. What about the folks who did, you know, the 4,000 people that you're talking about who did get rooms? Where are they going to go now?
Well, that is a big question that remains to be seen. Heidi Marston says the goal is to keep people housed, and they're planning for that. Right now, they're in the process of hiring document specialists to bring them to every Project Room Key site, so people who can help the clients get together their identification, any paperwork that they need to move into housing. You know, where people go on an individual basis will vary a lot, but one thing that LASA is planning to lean on very heavily is a new type of rental subsidy. They're going to provide people with rental vouchers that can cover their housing for up to 2 years. So it's not permanent, but the plan is to use that program and give people time to either build financial stability or obtain some kind of permanent housing.
In the meantime, there are a lot of activists who are calling on the city to force hotels to house more homeless people. I mean, not just because of COVID. We've got some other things going on, too. We've got the recent heat wave that obviously could get hot again. The bad air because of all the smoke from the fires. Is that a possibility, forcing hotels to do that?
Well, you're right. There are a lot of advocates and activists who are calling on Mayor Eric Garcetti to commandeer hotels, which is essentially a forcible temporary lease during an emergency. So the city would pay for the rooms, but it would take over the properties whether the owners wanted them to or not. People have been recently calling into city council meetings for many weeks now, demanding this, including last Wednesday.
You still haven't, commandeered the hotels or finished the 15,000 hotel rooms that you promised.
I would like to speak on the failure of Project Room Key and Garcetti use eminent domain to commandeer the hotels.
Please commandeer some hotels.
As call after call demonstrates, the general public has a better understanding of what's within your power and better ideas to meet this moment than the ones being deployed at present.
So as extreme as this idea sounds, it didn't come out of nowhere. It's within the mayor's legal power, and he himself warned about it back in April when he was trying to drum up participation in Project Room Key, but hasn't mentioned it since then. The challenges are it's legal but untested and would probably face challenges in court potentially that could just delay things until, you know, it's moot anyway. So far, the city has elected to just try to negotiate with hotel and motel owners. There is at least one city council member who has said that LA should consider commandeering hotel rooms, Mike Bonin. He recently asked for a report on hotels that had received any kind of public assistance from the city, like tax breaks at any point in the past, but refused to participate in Project Room Key, and asked for them to detail the reasons why. That did come back, and it showed some of the reasons that I talked about earlier, but it's not clear what's going to come of that.
Even if the city did commandeer these hotels, Anna, that would only be temporary. Isn't there a plan to buy some hotels and motels and turn them into permanent housing?
There is. So there's a state plan, and Governor Newsom has set aside $600 million for municipalities all around the state to do that. Los Angeles has applied for a chunk of that money, and the governor has been coming out with those awards. So we'll see what Los Angeles gets in the coming days, probably.
All right, KCRW's Anna Scott, who covers housing and homelessness for us. Anna, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
That's it for us this evening. We talked about staycationing earlier in this program. So a question for you. Have you been getting out to restaurants or staying at local hotels? What's been your experience? Or maybe you're staying home to stay as safe as possible. Let us know at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Tell us what you think. And while you're there, join a growing number of folks adding this show to the podcast diet. Get it delivered to your device or laptop and listen anytime on your schedule. kcrw.com/greaterLA. Tomorrow, community policing is back in the spotlight in a time of incredible tension between law enforcement and the people they're supposed to be protecting and serving. Jenna Cagle, Sonia Geis, Paul Smith, Mario Saavedra, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Amy Ta, Sue Margulies, and Christian Bordahl all made this show happen this evening. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for your ears and for your time. Have a good night.